Hey, yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. I am the futurist, the Crown Prince of Charisma. I'm Mo, but Brett, who are you? Are you Mr. Brett Podcast?
That's me.
Yeah, Mr. Brett Podcast, the king of the casters. Brett, doesn't matter. We've always said this. It doesn't matter who we are. The real get is always who we're talking to, and we're really excited because this is a band we both were unfamiliar with until the interview was booked, and straight up, not just because he's on the show, I'm going to let him know, his band is awesome. Absolutely awesome. Brett, please introduce our guests.
All right. Well, yes, this awesome band that you speak of is called Brothers of Metal. We have Mats, who is one of the singers, and the new album is out already, and it's called Emblis Saga. Mats, how are you?
I'm all good. All good. In the middle of Sweden. It's 8 p.m. here, and I just had my dinner, so it's great.
Did you have any mead with your dinner? I'm hoping.
No, not tonight. Actually, a glass of red wine.
Oh, okay.
Trying to save the mead for when it really matters.
When it really matters. We both tried mead, actually, just coincidentally, just a few months ago for the first time. And, boy, that's, you know, it's different. We liked
it's
it.
It's different.
It's different. Yeah, we liked it, though.
Yeah, you should get proper Scandinavian mead sometime. And that's also different.
I bet it is, yeah. Well, I'll have to get out there and do that for sure.
Yeah.
So the new album, you guys you're very unique. Like I say, you have a unique look, you have a unique sound, and a unique band structure. I mean, three of you are singing. Can you kind of explain kind of the band structure to people so they understand kind of, you know, who does what and how many people there are?
Yeah, so we're eight people, three guitarists, three vocalists, and one drummer and one bass player. The structure isn't really thought out. It just happened. What's probably different compared to a lot of other bands is that no single person, formed this band. It was more or less a group. I wouldn't call it decision, a group joke, maybe, but so we, it all started by very much a coincidence. Should I do this story? How we were formed?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'd love to hear it because you say is, I mean, you're new to us, so please.
Yeah,
let us
know. So when we party, what we do is usually that we have a pre-party before we go out to clubs. And what usually happens with this particular group is that we end up staying on the pre-party the whole night. And what we do is we do music. So a lot of times we have a couple of beers let's do some music. And tonight we're going to do some reggae. Or tonight we'll make a song that sounds like Supertramp or whatever, like different themes all nights. And one night in 2012, we basically said, okay, let's do a song that Manowar would be proud of. And so we, that night we did Son of Odin. And at the time, four of the members in Brothers of Metal that wasn't yet a band played in another band, a melodic death metal band, and they had just lost their drummer, or not in a bad way, or so he moved away and couldn't play with them anymore. But the singer, Joachim, got a question from a local club owner. Hey, can you play with your band here in 2 weeks? A small gig, 30 minutes. No, we can't. But we have this new project. Maybe you can check this out. And he sent him the song, Son of Odin. And the club owner basically said, yeah, let's do that. That sounds really cool. Okay, cool. See you in 2 weeks. And the problem is that we weren't really a band, and we only had one song. So in 2 weeks we had to write like 5 more songs. So we wrote like, you can hear it if you listen to the first album, like there's quite a big difference between the songs we wrote towards the end, but just before the recording, and the songs we wrote in the beginning for that gig. So the songs we wrote in the beginning was, of course, Son of Odin, also Yggdrasil, Tyr, I think Gods of War, and Fire, Blood, and Steel. Those were the first songs we wrote, and for that one gig. And then people really liked it, the people that came and saw us. So we got to do some more gigs, and all of a sudden we kept writing music. And one of the guys at Sabaton Open Air, the festival here in town, saw us and said, oh, you guys must come and play at our festival. So the first time we played on a real stage, if you will, was at Sabaton Open Air, playing after Sabaton on Saturday of that festival. And oh, it was quite fun, I must say. So I think a lot of us got like some how do you say, this is what we want to do, more or less. And this is like 2 years after the first gig, and we still hadn't released a record at that point. And finally, we just realized, oh, we actually have enough songs to record a full album. Let's do it, so we have something to look back on when we grow old, more or less. So we asked a friend that's a producer, hey, can you record us? We know all the songs very, like, super well rehearsed at that time, because, we had been playing them live, but no recordings, just demo recordings. So I think we recorded Prophecy of Ragnarök in 10 days, the whole album, and then... Yeah. That's how it became 8 people, I think, because we're just friends.
Sorry, I accidentally hit Gods of War there and started playing for half a second. I don't know if that came across. That's my favorite song on that album. It's just funny you mentioned that was one of the first ones you wrote.
Yeah, but that's basically the story of how we formed as a band. Like, but all of us knew each other before, so it, like, we're all friends and are just trying to have a great time.
Well, I think that comes across in the music for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And also I'll say, like, the music videos. I mean, we were actually talking about it just before we watched the one music video and stuff. and it's just so much fun.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so we're trying to balance on this thin line between being really cool and being really cringy, and it's really hard. The balancing act is something else, but it's we have a lot of fun for sure, and that's the most important thing. And then it's great that other people like it as well. That's just a bonus, but we're having tons of fun.
Yeah, it's always one of those cases where, because I know, and I'm a big fan of Manowar as well, where it's just like, how far do you push? Do you push that? How, like, where is the proper balance of, like, having fun and being serious about the, you know, how over the top it can go, right?
Yeah, it's really hard. I think personally, Manowar takes it too far a lot of the times, and it's way over the top in a lot of ways, but on the other hand, I also love Manowar. Like also a short story. First time I ever earned my own money, like from a summer job. Like the first thing I did when I got my money was to borrow a friend's music catalog, basically, where you could order stuff like post order. Is it even called that? Order from a company that sends you mail. So old time, before internet. And I looked up, okay, M, Manowar, and I ordered all the Manowar records on that. And just that's the first thing I did with my hard-earned money. So for sure, we're also great fans of Manowar.
So in other words, you just need to work to get on the same bill with Manowar at some point.
Yeah, that, I don't know if he will like us that much. I'm not 100% sure. I think we're too cheesy for him, but I think we share the same like basic values of life for sure. But we're maybe too not serious enough basically for him.
Yeah. A little too tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of what makes it work for me. I mean, maybe I'm blasphemous here, but I actually prefer you guys to Manowar, and I love Manowar. But when I was listening to your album, the first album, we were listening to both of them, obviously, and you know, about halfway through, I'm like, I sent Brett a message. I'm just like, these guys are awesome. It's because you appeal to the Nordic side of me, the being Danish, but. it hits all the right notes for me. You guys mix together so well, the different singers, and when they come in and who sings when, it's crazy to me when I hear the story of how you formed, because it's like, how do people this talented just happen to be hanging out and screwing around and they come up with this? It's just amazing to me.
I hope no one will hear our reggae songs and our hip hop songs, because then we'd probably had to do that for a couple of years. I agree. There's some super talented people in the band. Like David, the guitarist, super talented. Johan, the drummer, he writes all the symphonic stuff. And Ylva is, she's another kind of monster. Basically, her voice is just amazing, and what she can do is really helpful. I don't know. It's just luck, I guess, or we're friends.
So where, now that you guys have your second album out, it doesn't seem like this is going to stop anytime soon. Are you starting to develop ideas and plans for the future and how you want to make this, you know, a big thing, a real thing that is your real legacy?
It's a shame and a blessing that we're in the 30s, all of us. I mean, if we would have been 20, we would probably be touring basically 200 days a year, because we can, if we want to. Like, if we would have said yes to everything that basically popped up in our way, we would be touring so much. But now we're in our 30s, like half of us have kids, every one of us have regular day jobs and so on. Like, it's so hard with music industry. It doesn't matter if you have like 400,000 unique listeners on Spotify and millions of streams on YouTube. Like, doesn't matter. It doesn't bring that much income, especially not when you're 8 people sharing it with a record label. It's so hard to finance it. So we have to take baby steps more or less to make it work. And how we chose to do that is by only saying yes to the stuff that for either is really fun, like Vakken. We're playing Vakken this year. It's a childhood dream of basically all of us. Great, great festival. I think it's 80,000 sold tickets, and it sold out in 21 hours this year. So that will be so much fun. Doesn't give us a lot of income, but we would gladly pay to play there. And then we try to do stuff that is financially solid, more or less. Like, we need to be able to at least break even when we do these kind of tours and so on. So I think that's the bad thing about being in our 30s, I guess, doing adult decisions.
Adulting is what we call it over here.
Yeah, yep, adulting, way too much adulting going on. So it's hard to become, what did you say, like to become bigger and create our legacy, more or less. I mean, it's we're working on it, and it will take some time. Like, for example, we would love to go on a North American tour, but that market is so different compared to Europe, and it's such an investment going there that we feel that we really, really need to find the right band to join on a tour there. Like, it needs to be something like Sabaton or Powerwolf, or something that's bigger. And Powerwolf isn't that big, maybe in the States, I don't know. But, you know, a bigger band that we can join on tour. And that hasn't happened yet, but for sure it will happen.
Well, I know we know who Powerwolf is and really like them.
yeah. But that, just an example, like Nightwish, yeah. Sabaton, that kind of... those kind of bands we need to join, I think, if we're ever going to do a North American tour. In Europe, we decided, hey, let's do our own headline tour as the first tour ever. And it worked great. Like, it worked amazing. But I doubt that would work in the States.
No, I think
in North America.
Yeah, when it comes to North America, it's really... The best you can do is get into a couple big festivals, get seen, and from there you maybe start to build a enough of a following that you can pair with somebody, one or two other bands, and start to, you know, hit the clubs. And it is a totally different market. And you know, I mean, I don't know, your band, you know, a band like yours, does it get radio play over there? Or is it still just mainly YouTube and that type of thing where people discover you?
Yeah, I would say YouTube. Like, we tend to have a bit, like, our audience is digitalized for sure. Like, if you look at our Spotify stats, it's amazing. It's ridiculous compared to, like, let's say Avantasia, that I grew up loving and listening to. Like, we have more monthly listeners than Avantasia. We're bigger than them on Spotify, and that's just mind-boggling to me. So like, streaming wise we're doing amazing, and that's how people mostly listen to us. We don't get so much radio in Germany now. We started, like, with this album, they played a couple of songs on national radio over there. And that's great, because Germany is very, very important market for European bands. Like, it's another kind of beast.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, because over here, there's really no place on the radio for a sound like this, or even rock music at all is difficult, unless it's classic rock, to hear in North America on the radio. And as people underestimate, I think, the reach radio still has, if it's in, you know, different places where people were walking through and they hear songs and that type of thing, it still has its place. So, you know, I mean, that's as fans of your music, it's frustrating for us to know that there's no place where it's going to get out to the mainstream except for YouTube and Spotify.
Yeah, for sure. Financially, it's way better to be played on radio. But I think being very successful on digital platforms is more so telling that your audience is younger. And I'm sure that if you would compare, like, the average age of a radio listener and a Spotify listener, for our music, it would be quite different age-wise. So it's more so, I think, telling on what our primary group of listeners, like, they're who they are, basically.
Does I don't know if this about Spotify, does it give you kind of regions and tell you what countries and areas are listening? And is there much for North America you see?
Our biggest country, streaming wise, is the US.
Okay.
Okay. Second is Germany, and third is Sweden.
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So one of the things that I'm interested in is, of course, we've talked about the tongue-in-cheek aspects. So then, when you play live, how much of that comes out? Is it like, are you just kind of jumping around having fun when you're playing live as well?
I guess. I don't know. Yeah, but like not in a, I wouldn't say in a, there's no cringy jumping around and so on. Like we're pretty tough playing when we're live, I would say. No, it's like, but yeah, of course, we're super happy to play live every time we do it. It's like, there's so, it's so hard to describe. It's such a release of energy. Like, we're having so much fun. And I think that really, the audience gets that. And that's why people like us live, I think. But it's not, I wouldn't say that we're cringy. It's not like the videos. It's more on a serious note live. Like, when you're playing live, people actually paid money to go there and get a show, and that what we deliver. Like, we deliver a show every night we play, and that's like the biggest reason for doing it. Like, otherwise you could stay at home. If you don't intend to give the people a show, you could stay home. That's our way of looking at it.
Are you dressed up in the outfits and such on stage?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
This is not a t-shirt and jeans band, sir.
I imagine there's sometimes, though, that you've gotten on stage then, you know, looking like you do, and the audience has been, maybe there's times, you know, they're introduced to you and they don't know how to take you.
Nah, no? never felt that. No.
Oh, that's good.
We just start the show. It's without pardon. We just go on, and we will force you in the audience to tag along. Like, there's no one standing still. Like, it's, we're all having a great time.
Nice. Now, do you find that as you keep playing, that are there audience members that will actually dress up as well?
Yeah, no, we noticed it. We just came back from a European tour, and like we noticed small girls in the audience having Ylva's makeup, and some guy having my makeup, and so on. And it's it's great fun to see. And like some dude wearing a chainmail, I remember. Yeah, and a lot of horns and all that kind of stuff. So it's really fun.
That I'm interested because I know we all love the Norse mythology and especially the story of Thor and Loki and stuff like that. So what do you think it is that has made that so enduring and made people want to create bands, you know, focused on it?
So, it's quite different. Like, I don't know really what's so great about it. Like, for sure, there's a lot of great stories in Norse mythology, or the written text from the 11th century and around that time. There are so many stories, and I don't know about like how it's in North America or so, but here it's so much a part of our heritage and culture that we read about it in history classes. There's comics with the subject, and I mean, it's you get in touch with it at early ages. So a lot of people know something of it. Of course, we have been studying it a lot more to write songs and so on. But also, I think, like the my English is broken. How do you say the commercial aspect of, like, if you take Marvel and so on, they have Thor, for example. That's also a way of spreading the word, and you have the BBC series Vikings last 5, 6, 7 years, maybe. Also doing great, and I think it's just somewhat mainstream at the moment. And we like that was not in our plan at all. Like it was just dumb luck.
So go ahead, Brad.
Oh no, I was just gonna say. I mean, you know, better to have dumb luck than no luck. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So the new album, the if I'm gonna pronounce it right, Imbla Saga. How do you? Yeah. Did I get it right? Imbla Saga.
Yeah, it's perfect. I would Imbla Saga. I would
Saga.
Say.
Okay, Imbla Saga. Yeah. So, how about the writing of this album? Was it as quick a process?
No, it was way, way quicker. Like, not compared to the first 5 songs I talked about. That was knife against throat writing, more or less. Like, okay, we have this gig in 2 weeks. We need songs. what any sober person would do is, okay, we play this song and we do some covers. Like, that would have been fine. But no. That's not how we do it, apparently. no, but so we started writing it in 2012, and we recorded it during 2015 already. So we had no stress. And then we just basically sat on it while dealing with labels and talking back and forth and so on until we released it ourselves on digital platforms back in 2017. And then labels got interested when they saw our streaming numbers. We re-released it when we signed with AFM. But during all that, sitting on this album and just doing some live gigs every now and then and so on, there's a lot of time. And so of course, we started writing some new songs. So I wouldn't call this process stressful at all. Like the only real difference was that most of the songs were written during a shorter period of time, and we knew that people would listen to it this time around. Like I said before, the first album we recorded mainly to have for ourselves when we grew up, more or less. We had no idea it would be successful, but happily enough became somewhat successful, and we got to do another album. So yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, pretty similar, but during a shorter amount of time.
Now, was there like a bidding war for the album, especially after all the streams that you got?
Somewhat. I have one funny story about it. I won't mention any names, but we all know we ended up on AFM. But I was talking to another kind of big label, and we talked for, I think, 8 months or so back and forth, like not every day or so, but back and forth, trying to find a deal. And when he finally says, okay, send me what you want, send me a deal that you would want, and then we take it from there. So I put together a deal, and he basically said, okay, Mats, you know what, we're not a charity project, and like, if you ever get this deal from anywhere, say yes and don't look back, like, because it won't happen. And basically that exact deal I got with AFM, so we're very happy with our current deal.
Yeah, that's it's interesting. Yeah, because I was wondering why you chose AFM, but I guess that answers that question. Yeah.
Yeah, we're very happy with the deal we have with AFM, but most importantly, I think we're very happy with the people at AFM. Like, because deals, yeah, like, doesn't really matter. Like, you won't earn a lot of money unless you're Ed Sheeran or Beyonce or Drake or so. Like, there's not tons of money in a record deal, like at a label for you. So the most important thing is that you have the right chemistry with people there, because you're working together with the same goal. So we have a great communication and great chemistry with the people at AFM, and I would say that's the most important thing.
So what does the immediate future hold for you guys then? If, as we're recording this in early February, what's the next few months look like?
Now we start writing on the third album. I would guess. Yeah, that's the next thing we will do. We have nothing planned for the spring at all. And during summer, we will do some festivals. Wacken, of course, the biggest one. And we're also trying to find a way to do a Scandinavian part of the touring as well. Scandinavia, funnily enough, we haven't really played in Sweden. We only played Sabaton Open Air, and there we played a lot. And inside our small town of Falun. So we need to play in like the bigger cities in Sweden, maybe Norway, Finland, Denmark. And then we would like to go on another European tour, because we only got to go to, what was it, 4 different countries, mostly Germany, all around Germany, more or less. So we need to go a bit more into the eastern area, and maybe continue to Russia and Japan. So
then, is it hard to actually coordinate to get the time off since you all have day jobs?
Yeah, it can be a bit tedious, of course, but I mean, we most of us are quite lucky with our bosses, and well, we don't know yet because we will see. Maybe by the end of this year, we will know, I would say, because it's, I mean, every now and then it's fine, but when it starts to get a bit more, then you're like from the employer's kind of like point of view, we're kind of useless if we're always gone, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's also a balancing act. But yeah, so far it worked out just fine.
And you have to be respectful of them as well, right? So that's true. Their needs.
Yeah, of course. Like, you're employed to do a job. Like, that's a pretty simple deal. So if you're not doing your job, you're kind of useless to them. Like from this. Economic, financial kind of standpoint. But we're lucky so far.
So since you guys were in your 30s, you say, when this kind of all broke, what did people in your life, your friends and family, how did they react to the news that you guys were about to sign a record deal?
I don't think anyone really understood. It's like from last summer, I would say, when we started playing abroad and playing in Germany and so on, I think people understood. Like when we posted pictures of us with an audience of like 15,000 people, people started to understand, oh, they are doing quite good over there. Like, so... Nowadays, I think our biggest fan is my mom. Like, she likes every picture, and like she posts stuff online, and like I should actually probably get a hold of her Facebook account so I could hinder her somehow, because it's starting to get somewhat embarrassing from time to time. But no, but you know, moms, they love you no matter what. But yeah. I think last year, I would say people in our that are close to us has started to understand how big this actually is.
That's really interesting. You know, really cool, actually. I love to hear that you're getting that kind of support from your mom.
She loves it. She loves
fantastic.
It.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, but she's been supporting whatever. I could have probably, I don't know, painted really bad pictures, and she would post them online and say, "Look, my son did this." probably. I have no idea, but yeah, no, yeah, it's great.
Does she ever come to a live show?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Last year we had a special show at Sabaton Open Air, where we more or less, yeah, I think we lost money on that show because we used all the money we got paid for the show and yeah, some more to just put to burn up more or less. We did a big pyro show, and so I invited her and dad for that, and he turned 60, so yeah, for his birthday, basically, I invited them to go there, and yeah, they seemed to like it. And they got to meet Floor Jensen from Nightwish as well. Very fun. And I took a picture of Floor Jensen with mom and dad, and mom and dad had no idea who it was or why I wanted to take a picture. I just told mom later, and then she basically started stalking Floor Jensen and like, oh, she's so amazing. Oh, how couldn't you tell me that it was her? It was the Nightwish lady. Yeah, really fun times.
So the songs on the Endless Saga, I think there's a nice evolution for the band sound. You know, I think yeah. you're from Prophecy of Ragnarok, Prophecy, and now that you explain kind of a lot about that album, it kind of makes sense. But that album was very big, but it was this one is seems more focused, the music.
Yeah,
definitely that comes across. How do you compare the two albums?
Yeah, so Prophecy of Ragnarok is written during a longer period of time, and we were just getting started and all that. But the last songs we wrote for the first album was basically Prophecy of Ragnarok, Defenders of Valhalla, and Freya. So that's our, I would call it, more mature sound and songwriting. And we wanted this album to be basically a bridge between those kind of songs that we wrote in the end of the first album. There should be some kind of resemblance on this album. And I think that's why we chose Njord as our first single, because that's somewhat in the same kind of feeling as those songs, and then for sure we evolved some more, but like it's hard to like, because you can't evolve too much, right? You need to stay true to the core still, but you still want to evolve as musicians and as a band and do new stuff for you at least. Like I know we're not inventing the wheel or anything. We're pretty much reinventing it. And yeah, I think we succeeded with what our goal was, at least.
And since you're already working on the next album, do you have an idea of how the sound might evolve? Are you planning, like you say, you don't want to reinvent the wheel, but how much do you think that the sound will stay the same, or is there going to be some new experimentation going on?
It's way too early to say. Like, yeah. We have no songs really. Like, we have some songs that's already recorded from this album. Like, I think we have 3 songs that we recorded for this album that didn't really fit. Like, we couldn't release 16 tracks on an album, apparently. So, we saved them for the next album, and one of them is a ballad as well, so we didn't want to put 2 ballads into the same record, more or less. So I don't know, it's way too early to say. For sure it will be some evolving going on, but once again we need to stick to our guns and like we still want to make great chorus like melodies and so on, and have songs that that's easy for the audience to pick up on the first time you hear them, and the second time you hear the chorus, you will be able to share along, basically. That's the general idea, at least.
Well, I think, I don't know, Brett, did you have any more questions that you wanted to ask?
No, I'm okay right now.
All right, great. We want to thank you for your time, Matt. This was really interesting. You know, we're cheering for you, you know, because we really dig what you're doing. So
yeah, thank you.
You know, best of luck, and you know, we'd like to take this chance here at the end. Please tell everybody where they can get all the latest information on the band.
Yeah, so if you want to get any kind of information, you need to follow us on Facebook, Your Brothers of Metal Official. It's the same on Instagram as well, for sure. That's the main sources of all our information, more or less. So you need social media, I would say. Yeah, that's about it.
Well, thank you so very much. That's perfect. So, as we say, best of luck. We're looking forward to, you know, to seeing what you do. And if you get out to North America, we'll definitely try and get to see you. Otherwise, you can bet that all my family in Denmark is telling me I have to come over. I have to come over. We get in that neighborhood. We'll try and figure out a way to get to you.
Yeah, but as I said, like, hopefully we'll find the right band and tag along for their tour, and hopefully we'll do all of North America. Like, that would be so much fun.
Well, I got an idea. Oh, yeah. You know, Motley Crue and Poison and Def Leppard, they're all coming together. Why don't you just open for them?
Yeah, I heard Judas Priest is also celebrating the 50th anniversary. Yeah. So we should. Yeah, I'll just ask them. I think it would be great.
That would be great, actually. We've seen them live, and you and them together would be fantastic. Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you very much for your time, and good luck. Yeah.
The brothers of metal and the metal gods, yeah.
Yep. Take care, guys.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. All right. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye now.
Tales of almighty warriors, stay true to your steel. together. We sail the seas, we're touching ground, we fight whenever. One day will come when all is done, no more endeavor. Until the day we all stand tall and fight forever.
When we believe we are but one, we come together. We sail the seas, we're touching ground, we fight whenever. One day will come when all is done, no more endeavors. Until the day we all stand tall and fight forever.